Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. So welcome to the She Said Project podcast, where we share stories that have appeared on stage in That's What She Said, a live storytelling event that started in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. I'm really excited because in 2019, we started branching out into new communities. And now through the podcast, we get to share stories from women in more and more communities. And today's episode is a perfect example of that. So welcome to the podcast. This is Jeanette Jurczyk, your co-host, host co-co. Hi, Carrie Rosso.
Hi, Jeanette. Carrie Rosso here. I'm co to all the co things, too.
I know. I love hanging with you in the studio because this is our chance to kind of reflect on some of the stories that have been on the stage, talk to the women. You know, there is a journey that they go through leading up to the show, but it is so much fun to hear their feedback and, you know, the reactions that they got after the show.
Right. One of the things that I often talk about the stories, you know, sometimes it's a mirror and you're like, yep, I get that. That's me too. And then sometimes it's a window where you're looking into something that isn't familiar to you and it just broadens your perspective. And today's guest, so I have four teenagers or very young people about to go out and make their way in the world. And so I say to them all the time, go live your life. Gates are wide open. This is your time. So the whole time I was listening to this person, I was, and if you don't know this about me, I'm not a crier. And I was like, shut up. I'm not crying. No, I'm not. But I was, it was a battle because it was just, it so resonated. She was so genuine and she was, it just so connected to everything that I feel strongly about. Now I'm going to go cry. Sorry.
It's my personal mission in life to make Carrie Rosso cry. And she said it is my vehicle. So thank you. But let's talk about our amazing guest. Here in the podcast studio, we have Janaea Modest, who appeared on stage in the very first show in Danville, Illinois, not too long ago. It launched in 2023. So it's still fresh. It's still a fresh memory. Janaea, welcome.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Hello. So we're going to talk about that right there because Very recently we watched the videos of their show. We get together as a cast after each performance and we watch the videos before we release them to the public.
It was awesome. It was a good night.
It was such a good night. But what was your biggest observation when you watched your performance?
I have a radio voice, my grown voice.
You're like, who is that? Who's that grown up up there talking?
Right.
She like turned on her grown up voice.
I did. And I was like, oh. Okay, you sound sexy.
A sexy beast and didn't know it.
Right. You know, you know how you always listen to yourself and you're like, okay, I still got my little squeak. But then when we watched the show, I was like, ooh, okay. And you know, the crazy thing is my partner, she said the same. She was like, you did not sound like you normally sound.
You went and all sexy town.
I did. Because she's really never seen me super serious.
And your story was really a coming of age story. So that's very appropriate that you stepped into your own as a grown woman and shared, you know, a chapter of your life that made you who you are today. Yes. So we can certainly, you know, clue our listeners in a little bit that you talked about your relationship with your mother.
Yes.
And what she meant to you. And the big catchphrase, which was also the title of your story, Carrie alluded to
it. Live your life.
Live your life. Yeah.
So, man, it was... Honestly, the show was a big breakthrough for me, too. You know how you just have to come to terms with things. And even though she's been gone for about 8 years, it's still, you know, it's still fresh. It's still an open wound. And so by doing the show, it helped me heal. It did. The whole experience helped me heal. So, and this year's just been amazing. It has. And I appreciate you letting me be a part of this.
So interesting, because when we were looking through your life and looking at the different stories, you know, we had other options. We looked at different topics, but this one just really became the one you needed to share at this time.
Yes.
I love that we got to be part of that healing process for you, with you. I don't think anyone ever really heals from the loss of a parent, right?
Right.
And so this is just one stop on the journey.
Yeah, it is. It's this is only beginning, you know. Like I said, it's been 8 years, and I've grown a lot. Like, I'm able to be, it's like, I don't know, the show kind of like took a weight off my shoulders, too. Even during the show, I mean, a lot of stuff happened while we were meeting, but that right there was the hugest weight that was lifted.
How does that make you feel, Carrie, hearing a woman who's been through this experience? Like, that's one of the number one goals when the mission was laid out, like giving women a safe space to release, you use the word relief, right? Mm-hmm. When someone shares a story, there's a feeling of relief that comes with it. Mm-hmm. You've
like
experienced
that.
Yeah.
I said it. Yeah. It takes all of the like pressure off of you. Like, how will people react? How will I say it? How will it feel when I say it? I can't take it back. And then you say it and it's like, oh, you know, it's sort of a relief because it's like, okay, the world kept spinning,
right.
Babies kept crying, the sun came up, and you just, it's this beautiful relief. And I think what a beautiful way for you to honor your mom at the same time. Like, it's never just one thing. It's all of it wrapped together. You know, you're going through stuff, you're honoring your mom, you've got this open wound, but you just keep trucking forward.
Right. Yeah, it was. We definitely.
Well, while we take a moment to collect ourselves, why don't we play the actual clip from the performance night so that our listeners can join in? This is Janaea Modest with her performance on stage, and that's what she said, Danville, Illinois, in 2023. Let's take a listen to Live Your Life.
You see this drip, huh? All right. Live your life, Janaea. Live your life. Those are some of the last words that I can remember my mother saying before she was unable to speak again. Even during her funeral, she still was able to let me know that's what she wanted me to do because the pastor said the same thing. My question is, how can you live life when you have spent the majority of your life taking care of others? So let's take a journey back to my childhood. Growing up, I was a normal kid just like everyone else in my eye. I was spoiled. Now remember that because I'm never going to admit that again. My mom and my grandmother gave me everything that I wanted and then some. And all I had to worry about was going to school, playing, and keeping myself entertained. Life was fun then. But at the age of 13, life as a carefree kid stopped. The same year, not only was my mother diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, she had a stroke that paralyzed her on her left side. At that time, I wasn't aware that life as I knew it would never be the same. There was no more life of being carefree. Suddenly, I had to grow up and be there for my mom. I had responsibilities of making sure she was okay before I could do anything. I was raised to go with the flow because life happens. You just pick up the pieces and keep it moving. At that age, I did not realize that I was putting me on a back burner. Now, don't get me wrong. My mother encouraged me to continue to enjoy life and do the things that I loved. But regardless of anything that I did, her well-being and making sure that she was okay was always in the back of my mind. As time moved forward, her condition got worse. She needed to have a round-the-clock care, and I had to make the difficult decision of putting her into a nursing home. I thought that would relieve some of the burden off of my shoulders, but it did not. I constantly worried and was afraid that one day I would receive that phone call that we always dread. I began to start traveling more and trying different things. I even started my DJ career. Hint, hint, y'all need a DJ? I landed a job as an over-the-road truck driver. It didn't take long before I did receive a call that my mother was back in the hospital. So again, I had to go back home and make sure she was okay. She wasn't. So I quit my job and found a job in town. And 4 weeks in, I did receive that call. My mother is gone. and you are never prepared for that. My best friend, my role model, and the person that gave me life was gone. And life stopped for me on that day. During her funeral, the pastor stopped his sermon, and he completely zoned in on me. The words that came out of his mouth were so familiar. Live your life. Your mother wants you to live your life. I hear you, ma'am. But right now, who am I? Where do I begin? For 4 years after she passed, I was in robot mode. Every DJ gig that was available, I took it. And home was just where I slept, nothing more. Home was a constant reminder that I was stuck. And if I kept working, I would not have to think about anything else. And being a DJ helped with that. Everything was a party, and I didn't realize how much I was hurting. No one else knew it either because I kept a smile on my face and I kept it moving. I even kept this hurt away from my awesome partner that I was getting close to. That didn't last long, though. When the pandemic started, I had to sit down. And when you sit down, your thoughts make a loud entrance. I had to face the reality that it was time to figure out some things. It was time to live my life and figure out who I am exactly. I had to change my way of thinking and get out of the routine that I had grown so comfortable being in. I had to think about my interests and what gave me pure joy. I had to figure out what it was that makes me the person that I wanted to be. And most importantly, I had to wake up because it was time to live. First thing, I had to get rid of the things that were making me depressed, and moving was at the top of my list. I told my partner that I was getting rid of everything, but I think she thought I was joking. Oh, but I was not. I got a dumpster and I threw away everything. I might have even gotten a little carried away because I probably shouldn't have threw away that carpet cleaner. Now that the clutter was gone, it was time to move. So I packed up. I had left and moved with my partner to a smaller town, and that was definitely a test. I went from having something to do to nothing. No nightlife at all. And if you're a DJ, that's one of the worst things that you can do. I told myself that this would be one of the perfect times to concentrate on getting myself back to what I loved and miss about myself and figure out what it was that I wanted to do. Next on my list was getting myself back in shape. I needed to get my first love back, basketball. Know your limitations, people. I have not played basketball for real since my mother passed 8 years ago, and I am pressing 40. These knees are not the same. Nothing is the same, especially these kids. And anybody under the age of 20, they're kids to me. So I stepped on the court, and y'all, they called me old. And on top of that, they were talking so much junk. And look, I don't care how tore up my body is. Oh, we playing. And I'm talking mess right along with you. But guess what? I lost. But best believe I made them work, though, okay? That year, I also joined the Women's League. Now, remember, I'm realizing that playing is not my strong suit anymore, but I did notice that I enjoyed coaching, and that goes hand in hand with teaching. So I took that and applied it towards my work that I currently do, and that's working with kids. I already teach DJing to younger kids, and in order for a lot of them to get comfortable with you, playing basketball is a great segue. By being on the court and showing the kids something different, I did not realize that I was becoming a role model, and I was beginning to live my life on my terms. Over the years, I had made it a point to become a role model, just like the adults have been in my life. My mother, my biggest role model, had been teaching me what life is about. Since I have gotten older, I'm starting to realize that even though she was sick, she still managed to live and set an example by doing that. I'm learning that living is not just about existing. It's about figuring out what it is that you enjoy and applying it towards everything that you do. I'm still learning about myself, but at least I stepped out on that ledge and I didn't look back. I know that my methods aren't for everyone, but I hope this message was loud and clear. It's okay to take your time and grieve. It's okay to not know your next steps when it's time to come out of your shell, as long as you take them. So step out on faith and live your life.
Okay, I'm getting chills. I'm getting chills all over again.
I'm telling you. I loved that night. I thought it was kind of magical. Like, there was a storm brewing, and it was the first time in Danville. The stories were fabulous. My husband had been saying for years, he loves Danville. You have to go to Danville. And he had gone over, I think, that day or maybe the day before and met with a group. And, like, before I came to the show, he's giving me names. You got to go find this guy. You got to go find... And it was so great standing at the back and then saying to an usher, hey, I'm looking for... And he's like, oh, yeah, he's down there. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, here we are in Danville. And what a beautiful group of men, women, all of these people here to support. And I thought, it just goes to show, again, no community has a shortage of awesome women and people to support them.
You know, the crazy thing that pops into my head when you talk about Danville is the Cheers theme song. Everybody yeah. knows your name.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's exactly how Danville is. It's especially when I was growing up there, it was a lot more close-knit. But as the years have gone, a lot more people have moved into Danville. But it's still close-knit. It's way different from Champaign, I can say that. Like, I moved to Champaign when I was in my sixth grade year. And it's always like when you go home, like Danville is like home, you know. And then home is Champaign still, but you can always go back home to Danville. Everybody's going to still know who you are. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you every time I go home, I see somebody that I know or, you know, your family. You see them in the community. Hey, cuz. Like, oh, you always see somebody.
I think we have to give a shout out to the Fisher Theater, which is a newly renovated historic theater.
Beautiful.
Beautiful space. They were so accommodating, so excited to have the show brought to their venue. They were just a dream to work with. So huge shout out there, because that was really, really fun. That makes the performance, the event, so much more exciting when you love working with the people and you love the venue. And they're part of the history of downtown Danville.
Very much so.
And, you know, they want to bring more culture and more art and more opportunities for connection downtown.
And you know the crazy thing? I've never been into the Fisher Theater until we went. Like, it was always closed. It was closed longer than I was alive. So I remember the only theater that was old like that was the Times Theater, and it got tore down. So, yeah, it was nostalgic.
And we got to be part of their big comeback.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so let's hear it. So what was the feedback that you got?
People started inboxing me on Facebook and were like, your story, it just had me in tears because I connected so much with it. I'm not going to say her name. She was actually my friend's friend, and she told me that she was just crying. And just hearing that, I'm like, wow, you know, you just never know if you're going to affect anybody by telling them your story. And just by that inbox alone, it was, man, it just really touched me. But besides inboxes, people still stop me on the street about it. I went somewhere recently and they were like, you were the person on the stage and your story was just awesome. It was awesome. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes you just don't know how to react, you know? Mm-hmm. And this, it just makes you feel great. It does.
And
it
connected. Warms
you. Yeah.
And your mom's legacy lives on, and your legacy lives on. One of the themes that we kept coming to, we kept talking about was, so, you know, Janaea, who is who she is today because of her mom's influence.
Right.
But then there was a beautiful turning point in your journey. So you're a DJ.
Yes.
DJ at clubs and bars, and you're all over the Central Illinois Midwest region. But then you had this discovery that you could use this gift to empower young people.
Oh, yes.
And tell us a little bit about that discovery and how you got to tap into all that your mom gave you and pay it forward.
Okay, so we got to start from the beginning if we're going to talk about DJ Silky. So I don't know if anybody knows, but I was on Steve Harvey a long time ago. And just by being on that platform, when I came back, it just, everybody was stopping me on the street. Now, you never know how big you have gotten until you get stopped on the street in Chicago.
You have to share why. Why were you on the Steve Harvey
show? So I went on Steve Harvey because I made a post on Facebook when I was put on TV at a job fair, and I was currently working at another job, and I did not want my other job to know that I was applying for another job.
Oh. Yeah, so the media posted this picture of her at a job fair, which outed her.
Outed me.
That she was applying for a job.
Oops. Uh-oh. When I say outed me, that it was the Friday night news, and you know how it goes on Friday night. Comes back on Saturday. And then if you're lucky, it's going to come back again on Monday. And I was the lucky one to come back on Monday. And when I made a post about it, and my post just went viral. And when I say viral, it went international. People from Australia were hitting me up. People from Asia were hitting me up. Canada. I got to be on TMZ. What's the other one? ET. Michael, what's his name? Michael Strahan. He announced my name on Good Morning America. So I was pretty much out there.
Did you have a job Monday morning?
And the funny thing is HR acted like they never saw it. And I'm like, yes, you did, because y'all talk too much in the front office not to know that I was on TV. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I kept my job. I still had my job, but I also was able to get the other job, which pushed me into working into the schools. And just by that publicity alone, just thinking back about how my mom used to push me, and, you know, she always used to tell me that you're a leader. And so by, you know, having that voice in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and use my platform for different things. And I just kept it kid positive. And like when I say, when kids see me on the street, they know exactly who I am. They come up to me. And I do a lot of DJing in schools. That helps too. But every time I see a kid, it run up to me, hey, DJ Silky. And like, it just lights their face up like, oh my God, I'm a celebrity to them. But I'm just being me. So it touches my heartstrings.
But you became kind of an accidental role model, you said.
I did, accidentally. and I, you know, you just never realize, like I said, I never realized how much my mother instilled in me until I started writing my speech out. Because I remember we were going over different subjects to use, like you had suggested maybe using my teacher. And, you know, that honestly, it didn't sit right with me when I was like, nah, she's not the one that I really looked up to like that. And then that's when I was like, no, I got to write about my mother. Like, my mother is the reason why I'm in certain positions that I am, because of everything that she taught me, everything that I saw of her. My mother, besides, like in my speech, if you heard, she had MS. She also had a stroke, but she also overcame a lot of that stuff. She walked the stage at Eastern after battling all of the things that she was going through. She had in her head that she really wanted to graduate, and she graduated. So seeing my mother do certain things like that, and then also being like a sponsor to people, or just being there to be able to talk to her, she was always there. And I don't care how many people that I see or how many things I see people accomplish, no one can accomplish as much as my mother did, in my mind. So
from one role model to another.
I love it.
No, and you're paying it forward in such a beautiful way. I'm just enamored. I could just sit here and listen to you, like with your sexy DJ voice, all that, like just, keep talking.
Okay, let them know. Shoot, I might be in radio one day. You never know.
Steve Harvey, if you're listening.
Right.
We found her. I mean, that was a fun story, too, about how your post went viral and that you got busted, but happy to hear it had a happy ending. And that job fair actually did spur you forward to find additional facets of your career where you do get to continue your DJ work. And I mean, let's just tell you, you teach DJ as a skill set.
Yes.
To young people. We got to witness one of her students actually DJ'd our after party after her show. It was just so cool to see, you know, your legacy pay forward.
Yeah. Even, you know, with my classes, I just don't want my young girls to work as hard as I had to get to a position where I'm at now. As you know, DJing is pretty much a male-dominated career. And especially in Champaign, I'm like one of the only females in this area that's really DJing like I am. Like, this is my career now. I don't have to work for anybody. Isn't that something? I don't have to work for anybody but myself. Set my own hours. Let people know I don't want to do their stuff. But
well, I love that you sort of kicked that door in, and that then now you're helping other young girls along.
If these girls that I'm teaching now went through what I was going through, a lot of them would not be DJing today. Let's be honest about it. I had to prove myself. I had to not prove myself. I had to prove to others that I was on their level. And I'm just now getting to the point where I'm like, I don't have to prove to anybody anymore. Like, why do I have to prove to you? Y'all know what I do. It is what it is. And if you don't like it, it's okay. Somebody else will. It's enough money out here for everybody. And I'm teaching my girls now with, all right, She Spins. Let me put that out there. She Spins, if y'all haven't heard it today. I'm teaching them entrepreneurial skill sets. So, like you said, you've seen one of my girls DJ. She's actually made it a career, and she hasn't graduated high school yet. She was shocked to get as much money as she did. And I'm just like, well, this is just the beginning. You can, especially if I would have started at your age, man, I can only imagine where I would be at right now. Only imagine.
The world is right in front of her.
Yes.
Anything she wants. I love that you said that, though. There's the skill set for the music and the passion, but the entrepreneurial...
Yep, I totally followed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, the entrepreneurial skills. Girls in particular, we need to be pouring into them that they can. They can run a business. They can launch a business. They can earn money, you know, before they graduate high school. They can do anything.
They can.
There is no timeline. It's so exciting today, and especially to be a mom of girls. Like, my 10-year-old has a bracelet-making business and her own Etsy site. Like,
which is awesome.
They can do anything. And I didn't teach her to do that. She went and figured it out.
Okay.
But she needs a mentor like DJ Silky here.
But she also sees her mother.
What? What? Who? Me?
Her mother is out here just doing it all. Like, I'm in awe of everything that you do. I'm still trying to figure out what you don't do.
Does she sleep?
Right.
I think that's what she doesn't do.
That's it.
And I don't binge watch television. I wish I did sometimes. I get jealous of my friends all talking about, hey, such and such happened on so-and-so. And I'm like, who? What?
But that's part of it, you know, showing these young girls, not just, I think, just in one generation, you know, the women, my mom's generation, it was a lot of verbal because of what was available to them, them saying to us, you can be anything, you can be anything.
Yep.
Say that to our girls now, and they're like, why are you even saying that? Like,
right.
Of course we can. We see our moms doing it. We see it's available to us. Why do you keep saying it? Because they don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I relate that to the story you shared last week. But yes, it's not this, we're telling them like it's this big epiphany, and it's not.
Yeah.
They're like, and?
Of course we can.
Okay.
We are.
Just like you, Mom.
Yep.
I love that. I've told Carrie the story, and it's one of my favorites. So I was tucking in my daughter into bed a couple years ago, and she said, you know, Mommy, when I grow up, can I work with you? If that's what she said. I said, absolutely, sweetheart. There will be a place for you. That would be amazing if we could work together. And I turned to my younger daughter, who was in the room, and said, sweetheart, do you want to come work at That's What She Said also when you grow up? And her exact words were, yes, when I get back from Mars.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep, big plans.
Okay.
Like, okay, well, she knows what she wants. So.
And she will be in Mars. Watch. I can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, so... I mean, we are positioning ourselves very much on purpose to be a platform for women like you who have something to say, to have an impact. It's one thing to have your story, but you need a safe space to share it so women can hear it and men can hear it and children can hear it. And so that is the work. That is the work we do each and every day to create that platform and build and grow that platform. And we have the teen programming, and we have the publications. We're like, it's all there for the same purpose, to allow women like you, DJ Silky, Janae Modest, to live your life and then go and share that story so other women can feel inspired to do the same.
Yeah.
That's deep.
That is deep.
Well, that's what she said.
Okay.
Sorry. See, she has the nice, lovely things, and then I got to come in with a ba-bum bum. Sorry, Jeanette. It was a lovely moment. It was lovely.
She opened the door to it.
You can't tee me up like that. I'm going to swing.
Oh, you heard it here, friends. But that's what started this all, you know, these moments where we can laugh together at all the jokes and then bring the women back to yuck it up.
Yep.
Did I say it right?
Yuck you it did.
Up.
You
so
did.
Yuck it up.
See, sometimes she says yak it up, which sounds like vomiting or a hairball.
Yeah, you can't
it's like,
say
no,
it like
it's
that.
Yuck it up. Yep. You can't say yak it up.
I had to clarify.
It's okay.
All right. Well, we are done yucking it up. I think that was a perfect note to end on. And I want to thank our friends who joined us today. I want to thank our friends at WILL Radio at Illinois Public Media for being our partners in crime for the She Said Project podcast. And thanks everyone who has showed up, supported a show, listened to a podcast, bought a book. You know, you are helping us grow our mission so that maybe you one day could stand on a She Said stage and tell your story. Thanks for being here today on the She Said Project podcast.
Over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.